magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 354, recording on May 11th, 2018. Thanks a ton for downloading this week's episode of the podcast. If this is the first time you've listened to the Touch Arcade Show, I'm Eli, with me is Jared, and between two of us, we've got about 20 years of experience covering mobile games. Touch Arcade is not only the best place to go for mobile gaming news, but now it is statistically speaking, the number one mobile game site on the internet.
You're riding high on that chart.
But yeah, it's like so unexpected. So like, if you actually, I have the news story on here somewhere. I can actually pull it up. ICO Partners, which is, you know, one of the bazillion data slash research people in this industry. If you've never heard of the style of business, like basically these people like gather all sorts of data on the industry in general and trends and things like that, and then package it up and sell it, with the idea being that like, hey, if you're looking to get into the mobile industry or invest, you want a studio or something else, like these types of reports will give you a more kind of informed look at the actual like financials of the industry and other things that might not be immediately apparent to you if you were just some like venture capitalist guy that was like, I should get into mobile. ICO Partners is one of the many people that do this, and they recently put together a report on the impact of mobile game coverage. And Touch Arcade is fucking leading everyone to an extent that's just stupid, and it just made my day when I saw this. Because the problem is, like, people have always, like, developers has always anecdotally told us, like, oh yeah, you know, like a bunch of sites posted about our stuff, but it wasn't until like you guys posted about it on Touch Arcade that we really saw any kind of bump. Mm-hmm. And it's always really super hard to like quantify that, right? Because you have developers that are, I don't know, like. I never know how serious to take stuff like that. If it's like brown nosy or actual factual and the other problem is too, like a lot of times, particularly in premium games now in 2018, you know, like you'd be like, oh dude, I got a huge bump of downloads, but that could have meant like you got 3 downloads last week and this week you got 6. So
yeah,
Touch Arcade is responsible for doubling your downloads when in actuality we made you $30.
Yeah.
If that. So it's a thing.
Well, it's cool. It's not surprising to me. I feel like because we've been around since before the App Store and are one of the few still standing doing this sort of thing. It's not surprising. I mean, I feel like in the terms of mobile games, excluding the super hardcore people that might check every single site for different mobile game coverage, most people are probably happy knowing Touch Arcade exists and bookmarking us and then just checking us out for their mobile game needs. Like, they don't really need anything beyond that. And so they're not, like, scouring for other sites or, you know, anything like that. So,
Well, it's just one of those things I've always told people, like, you know, very influential people read Touch Arcade. You know, everyone from, like, Apple on down. And it's, like, really cool to see, like, report actually kind of, like, detailing that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not bullshitting everyone. Touch Arcade's actually a big deal. This is nice. So, yeah, it's been fun randomly posting charts from this and getting lots of retweets. And I always knew you were number one.
the site that was next to us was Vandals.net, and it's like a Spanish language game site. And I was talking about this the other day in our chat. I think it's really interesting that, you know, it's a site that covers all platforms, and then their mobile coverage is comparable to ours, or, you know, the only one that's even sort of close.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more of a US thing or maybe a Europe thing or whatever, that most major sites that cover all the gaming platforms kind of shit on mobile and don't really treat it as an equal, you know, a different platform. But that doesn't seem to be true with the Vandals people, and I think that's kind of cool. And yeah. It feels like that's the way it should be. I mean, we all play all video games on all systems, and we like them all, and mobile's just another platform, you know? But so many attitudes of the bigger gaming sites in the U.S. are like, you know, mobile's this rinky-dink stupid thing until once in a while they have a good game. And it's just not that way.
Well, yeah, and, like, the other fuck thing is, like, when you look at the actual, like, money going into this industry, like there isn't an entertainment sector right now that's making more money and has more people involved than mobile gaming.
No, it's absurd.
So I mean, like, keep your head in the sand as much as you want, but you're wrong if you don't agree with that. But yeah, like one of the other interesting slides in this presentation was showing like just how much ahead Touch Arcade is of IGN when it comes to like impact of mobile coverage, which kind of just goes to your point that they've spent I don't even know, like a decade now, or actually way more than that, like effectively training their user base that mobile games are for idiot babies.
Yeah.
You know, going all the way back to like, it was like they rode the cell phone game stigma through the iPhone and kind of like never really gave that up.
Yeah.
So I don't know, whatever.
It's sort of weird. Just as a gamer, I feel like it's weird to just have this one platform where you're like, that's so stupid. And even when there's good games, try to act like, oh, this is just a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know. I don't know what to say about then IDK. But anyway, so that's a cool thing of the week. So yeah, now that we're objectively the number one mobile gaming site, we also have a Twitch that is not the number one Twitch channel yet, but you know, we're working on it at twitch.tv/touch arcade. I would say we objectively also have the number one mobile Discord at discord.gg/touch arcade. We've got like 8,000 members or something like that, which I don't think anyone comes close aside from game specific Discords, but that's a different thing. But so Touch Arcade, this podcast, everything we do is supported primarily by Patreon, which you can visit at patreon.com/touch arcade. Alternatively, if you are not wild about the Patreon thing, I totally understand, but you do shopping on Amazon, we'd appreciate it if you do your shopping through toucharcade.com/amazon, so we can get a tiny cut of your sales that greedy old Jeff Bezos would just use to send himself to the moon otherwise. So you can fight the man and support Touch Arcade at the same time. Seems like a pretty win-win to me. We always appreciate iTunes reviews, and if you want to email us, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. With that, I guess we can hop in.
You know what I think is crazy, just to go back on your Jeff Bezos comment, is when, you know...
What specifically is crazy?
He was talking, you know, so this whole thing was like, he wasn't sure how to spend all his money, so he's going to start this rocket thing and fly into space or blah, blah, blah. And so all these people come out of the woodwork to point out, like, oh, well, with, you know, his net worth, he could solve homelessness across the globe, like, 5 times over or whatever. And I always think that sort of thing is interesting. And I feel like if I was in Jeff Bezos' shoes, I'd be like, all right, let's do it. Like, you say we can do it, let's go. Let's solve this homelessness and, you know, food shortage problem or whatever. And wouldn't it be cooler to be the guy that was that guy? That, like, solved homelessness or something like that? Like, that's way cooler. Like, well, if all the richest people in the world kind of even just threw a fraction of their riches in to do something like that, I feel like you'd just be the badass of the world, and everyone would be like, this guy solved homelessness. Like, what?
I just really want to know if people like Jeff Bezos realize just how unbelievably tone deaf it is when they say stuff like that to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're like, no, God, I just have so many billions of dollars. I don't even know what to do with it. I guess I'll just go to the space. I'll just build a rocket.
Yeah, this stupid like, money I can't even spend fast enough. What am I supposed to do? And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, that is just, it's so interesting, like, looking at the public perception of him versus, like, Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Because him, Bill Gates and his wife, like, they are, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but, like, they are the most charitable people, I think, ever in history, as far as, like, the amount of money they've given away to just, like, unbelievable amounts of causes. And they're still so rich that they couldn't spend the money they have in their lifetime if they tried.
Yeah, like, so, what a rad problem to have.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you rather be known as being someone that, like, helped a whole population of people instead of just launched yourself in space, because why not?
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing. It's like Bill and Melinda Gates. It's like, oh, they're on the path to, like, ridding the world of malaria versus Jeff Bezos is playing with rockets.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, whatever. But but anyway, there's a lot of cool news that came out this week. As usual, the world of mobile never stops. First thing I got on my list is the next game from the developer of Zenge and Art of Gravity, which are two really good games.
Yes.
Is called Scalak. I think that's how we pronounce it. S-C-A-L-A-K. I don't know how. So this is one of those games, like, I don't even know how you describe it unless you just like look at the screenshots or video, right? Like,
I fumbled through some words of trying to describe it and then was just like, watch the video. Because, yeah, it's kind of tricky to explain, but I kind of likened it to a Rubik's Cube meets those little toys when you're a kid where you like hammer the circle through the circle hole and the square through the square hole or whatever. Because it's kind of like that. Like, you're sort of shape-shifting these blocks to get them in the right position to like add these additional pieces to them. And the way everything sort of fits together is a little bit crazy. And it seems like it changes quite a bit from level to level. Like, there's definitely different types of varieties of these puzzles or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it almost reminds me of like those old Tanagram puzzles. Whatever.
Yeah, that's a good example. It is similar to that, like a 3D Tangram or whatever. Looks really cool. Coming out 2 weeks from now,
May 23rd. And it's up for pre-order now. So if you like cool puzzle games, it's one to keep on your radar. I guess
Zenge and Art of Gravity are really good. So this
pre-order it right now and not worry about it. So kind of strange news. I don't know if anyone is old school enough to remember Command & Conquer on the iPhone. But that was a thing that EA released back when they were super into releasing premium games on the App Store, which everyone proceeded to pirate. So Red Alert, I guess, is coming back to mobile. However, it's only being released in China.
Mm.
Or is it China first?
Well, I mean, it's China for sure, and nothing else announced. And I kind of feel like this is one of those ones that'll stay in China. Just the watching the videos of how it is and stuff. It's more like the Clash of Clans take on Command & Conquer in a lot of ways. So I feel like it's that sort of mobilized version of a RTS that is super popular in Asian markets. So I don't know. I feel like they brought it out here, it'd be like a Dungeon Keeper situation.
Right. Yeah. It seems more like a Game of War style game than a Command & Conquer. Like, if you're imagining Command & Conquer from the PC, this game will just make you angry. So it's probably better that they don't even bother releasing it here.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it ends up being cool, but I don't get the impression this will come out west at all. But I liked that old EA Command & Conquer that
was
on iPhone. It was pretty fun. I used to play it all the time.
Like little skirmish battles. Like, the unit count was pretty low, but it was really fun when you played it. So the loot box drama continues. As the world turns, so does the loot box drama. So the Belgian Gaming Commission has decreed this week that illegal loot boxes warrant criminal prosecution.
Wow.
The Belgian Gaming Commission recently was like, yo, loot boxes are illegal, so stop it, basically, is the long and short of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going like a step farther and saying that this is we're going to treat you like criminals if you keep doing it, which seems really severe, doesn't it? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want to curb this sort of thing, that's one way to do it. But it just seems kind of crazy that you can have a game that's the same everywhere and it's fine, but then now in Belgium it's going to be this thing that can make you go to jail.
who do you even go after there? Like, say they don't like Hearthstone packs. Like, you could throw like Ben Brode in jail if he comes to Belgium. I don't know.
I did some, one of the many, many questions that it remains to be seen.
So, but super, super confusing as to what's going on with all this, as always. But I don't know.
Gumball machines are in trouble. Your local grocery store is going to jail.
I mean, I haven't been bashful about sharing how absurd I think all this is. So,
I think something shouldn't be, you know, there. I'm a believer in having a set of rules around this sort of thing so that everyone can kind of play nice. And, you know, there's all the scummy people can't be taken advantage of, you know, people that don't know better or something. But I don't know. Who are you going to throw in jail in this situation is what I don't know.
Everybody. The answer is everyone. Everyone, we just live in jail now. And then we can play all our loot box games. That's a good question. Can you play a loot box game in jail?
I don't know. You're already there.
Yeah, I don't know. So this whole thing has reached a level of absurdity that I never would have saw coming. So I guess we'll see how that evolves and who gets thrown in jail. So, because that's a thing now. So Civilization 6 got updated, and it has the there's more scenario packs and stuff like that. This one includes the Nubia Civilization and scenario pack. So, and also the full unlock is once again 50% off. So it's $30 instead of $60, which I feel like they should just commit to that being the regular price.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. What's the difference if it goes on sale every update? I mean, every other week. But yeah. I kind of agree with you. I feel like they're probably getting many more sales from the $30 price than $60. But
yeah. So, and I'll just say the same thing I've said before every time we post news along the lines that like Civ 6 is absolutely outstanding on the iPad. I've gone entire flights where I have like drained my battery from 100% to zero just playing this game.
Yeah.
And really can't recommend it enough. If you have, it does require a reasonably recent iPad to play well. Mm-hmm. But just super cool game. It translates to touch really well. If you're hardcore enough to do some tinkering, which I haven't bothered with myself, but you can get it to run at like full Retina resolution instead of, I think it renders at like 1024 by 768 by default, which I think is just a battery saving measure.
Yeah.
Because according to people on Twitter, they've done it. Like, it'll run at 30 frames per second at full resolution. But, you know, it's like, do you want your battery playing this game to last 4 hours or 4 minutes?
It's a trade-off.
So, and as far as these different DLC packs are concerned, like, I would buy the game and wait until you hit a point where you're like, all right, I kind of have capped out on what I can do in this before you go. Because, like, I'm always kind of bad about, like, you know, if it's a game I like, I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta get all the DLC and then not touch any of it because there's so much to do in the game
too that
I eventually like just stop playing it before I hit a point where I've run out of things to do.
Right.
That being said, if you know like one of these particular like civilizations, you know, particularly appeals to you, like, you know, just, you can definitely spend your money on weird shit. So
I think it's cool that they released so many updates for the iPad version that it's approaching parity with other platforms, and that's kind of awesome.
It's really neat. So Hello Neighbor by TinyBuild is coming to iOS and Android this summer, July specifically, and you can sign up for beta access if that's something you're into.
I've heard of this game a lot when it came out on other platforms and stuff, and I never really paid attention to it. I don't even really know what it is.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but it's one of those games where people either have, like, they love it or they hate it and need to make sure that everyone knows that they hate it.
Seems that way.
Which I think will be interesting to see how that all kind of plays out when it's released. Yeah. Like, for what it's worth, the trailer that they released seems like it is pretty good, you know, as far as how it performs and stuff and controls. It's first person, so virtual joysticks and stuff, but I don't know. I'm excited. TinyBuild has released a lot of good stuff, so there's not much reason to think this also won't be good. So, if you're still playing Lineage 2 Revolution, which is a very, very, very good free-to-play MMO, which I think was the last game I got accused of being paid off for liking. They've been consistently updating the game. There's this huge castle siege mode now, which is pretty cool. They basically just throw like a couple hundred people into a giant battle that's just a complete and utter clusterfuck, but is
sounds
pretty
fun.
Neat. They've added some new servers, which I would assume means more and more people are playing the game if they need to expand capacity or whatever. That seems like a good sign. So
yeah.
I don't know, if you haven't fiddled around with Lineage 2 and you're at all even remotely interested in MMORPGs, like you really owe it to yourself to at least give it a shot. Like I thought it was really, really cool how you can play the game as much or as little as you want, basically. So you can have it on like autoplay and basically just interact with it whenever you need to, like, send your dude on your quest. Mm-hmm. Or you can play the game like a full-blown RPG and
so
control
it
every
could be
aspect.
An animated desk toy if you want it to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty cool. Like, so when I was super hardcore about it, when it came out, like, I have this little like dock thing on my desk, my phone just sits in, mm-hmm. and you know, I'd be fiddling around my computer and then look down and be like, oh, my dude needs another quest. Like, let me send him on another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I would get loot and gold and everything else, and then you know, a couple minutes later, I would need to send him on another.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I thought it was a fun distraction. And then what was cool is that like once you leveled up and you know, so your guy's like leveling up and gaining equipment all day. And then you can do like one of the more challenging kind of like dungeon run sort of things, mm-hmm. and see definitive progress in your character, mm-hmm. based on your phone just like running more or less.
Yeah, I like that. Like I love this idea. I feel like so many people, at least a lot of people in our community, were so instantly turned off to this game because they're like, oh, it's auto plays itself and blah blah blah. But you can really just decide how much of it you want to play or have be played for you and stuff. And like you're saying, like you can really kind of work both out, right. So that when you're busy or whatever, you can still be kind of grinding and doing the normal MMO thing that you'd just be kind of mindlessly doing on your own anyway. Have the computer do that for you. And then when you feel like playing, you jump in, take over, and you're leveled up and you're ready to progress some more. And that seems like such an ideal situation to me that it kind of annoys me that people just instantly dismiss it because I think it's a good idea. And like, is it better that you control your character through all this dumb grinding to get to the next level of stuff that you actually care about?
Yeah, I it's wild because like I played a lot of World of Warcraft when it was new, mm-hmm. and like that game was so time intensive. Like you could very
you
easily
had to like kill rats for like 3 days or something, right? To like get anything done.
Not quite, but like you could that was a game that could just like delete your weekend and you could feel like you got nothing accomplished, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas a game like this, like you can very much get shit accomplished while you're. And like I probably would have played World of Warcraft longer if I could be like, all right, yeah, auto quest. I'm gonna, mm-hmm. you know, do something else while my guy completes these quests and does this boring crap I don't care about. So I don't know. It's worth a try. It's totally free. I didn't really ever feel the pressure to buy anything, but you know, different strokes for different folks. Some real weird, well, I guess weird / disappointing news hit this week. So, Pinball Arcade is. I would say probably the best pinball game on the App Store. Certainly.
I think it depends on what you're going for, but in terms of real life tables that have existed being turned into digital versions, there's nothing that even comes close to this. Like, this is what they do.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Zen, which makes their own, you know, own tables that are totally like not based in reality or anything like that. Like, so, you know, I've heard gripes about physics and stuff like that, and you're going to get that with any digital pinball. But as far as, like, actually painstakingly recreating these real-life tables bit by bit, this is the game that does it.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And, like, there's just a collection of, like, if you, with few exceptions, as of this recording, like, if you remembered a pinball machine from the 80s or 90s, like, chances are it's in Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, that's
true. Problem is, Pinball Arcade is losing or has lost its Bally and Williams license. So yeah. More than 60 tables are going to get nuked from.
And there's something like 90 tables total in the whole game. So it's losing 2/3 of its library.
Yeah, these guys are effectively like, dead.
That's like sinking the battleship. Shot like it's yeah. such a big blow.
The games that or the tables that are still in it are like the ones that no one really recognizes, you know, like the really old ones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Sean put up a really good article of like the top 10 tables that you should totally have downloaded and grabbed on your device before this happens on June 30th. And real quick, so number one is Addams Family, complete classic. I don't think anyone would argue against that. Two, Medieval Madness, another super well-liked table. Three is Twilight Zone. I put Twilight Zone number one, but I guess that's mm-hmm. up for debate. then Star Trek The Next Generation. Oh, shit. Attack from Mars, Scared Stiff, Bram Stoker's Dracula, The Getaway High Speed 2, Circus Voltaire, and Taxi. Of those, I would say your super must-haves would be Addams Family and Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
I would, if you're at all into pinball, I would not let June 30 pass without you having these games downloaded.
Yeah, I agree. And I think any of the ones that have huge license, like even the Star Trek game or whatever, it's worth grabbing, because that's like, you know, something you might want to have in the future when they're all gone. And one of the interesting wrinkles about this story is that, so they lost the license, they kept stopped selling them after June 30th, but apparently if you own them already, you can keep them. And then Farsight Studios, who makes Pinball Arcade, says they're going to keep them updated and stuff, you know, in case anything comes along and breaks them or whatever.
Go through and just buy all these. How much is that?
I want to do too. I added it up and it was like 210, I want to say, something like that. Because I had actually bought a bunch of them over the course of the years when they would come out, and I'd check them out to write an article about them, or just one that comes out that I wanted or whatever. So we have like a good portion of the ones that are going away, but definitely not all of them. So to complete that collection would be over $200.
Well, so what I was kind of baffled me about this is, like, this game seems like it'd be absolutely prime for using Apple's subscription stuff. Yeah. Like, if you could subscribe to Pinball Arcade for, like, I don't know, $5 or something like that, and just, you know, always get access to absolutely everything in the catalog, like kind of like a Netflix for pinball, I would be super into that. I would pay for that.
I don't know how they would treat this sort of situation then, because they're losing a license. So it might be like Netflix or Hulu, where it's like, oh, hey, that show is gone now because the license expired or whatever. And so it would suck to be a subscriber to this and then be like, oh, all the Williams tables are gone now, and I still pay $5. What am I paying $5 a month for? Or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like at least in this case, you can download them and hoard them and not let anything happen to them, hopefully, for the rest of your life. But I don't know. I feel like that's wishful thinking too. I feel like something will come along.
Oh, yeah. It's
going to break these.
They're totally not gonna be able to inevitable.
You're going to lose your phone and not have a backup. Like, who knows what's going to happen. But for now, at least, I would grab the ones you want for sure before June 30th.
Yeah.
Really sucky situation, I would say. And
my
question, and Sean is kind of asked this too, is like, so they're not renewing their license. They basically just declined to renew the license with Farsight. Why not? Like, why not? Even if it's not a huge moneymaker, you know, they're paying you for the license and you're getting a part of all the tables that they do sell. What else are you going to be doing with that license? So they must have some sort of plan for it, I would think. So I'm sort of interested to see
maybe
what
happens. They're going
to
do their own subscription app.
Maybe, yeah.
So let's see. Next up, kind of surprising news this week. So Valve is bringing Steam Link and Steam Video to both iOS and Android later this month. So if you've never fiddled around with Steam Link, previously it was a specific hardware device that Valve sold, which basically had like a power cable, or like three ports on it. It was like power, Ethernet, and HDMI, and you just plugged in your TV and it streamed Steam games that were rendered off your computer somewhere else in your house. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it works okay. There's a tiny bit of latency that, you know, is just always going to happen because, you know, you're like the game's being rendered on your computer, the video is being compressed, shot over to the Steam Link, decompressed, mm-hmm. then rendered again on your TV. So certain kind of like action heavy games I always found to be just kind of like just ever so slightly laggy enough to be annoying to play. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. Like, so it's important to keep that in mind as a best case scenario of what Steam Link can be like. Mm-hmm. Before getting too excited about this coming to iOS.
Yeah.
That being said, playing, like, if you play a lot of turn-based games or mm-hmm. other stuff like that works absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, the super like actiony. Like I tried to play. I got tired of sitting on my computer playing The Witcher 2, and I was like, oh, mm-hmm. let me plug in this stupid Steam Link thing and see how that is. And it was, I don't know, like, you know, like pulling off combos in the game was weird because like there's a lot of different like parry mechanics and stuff, if I recall correctly, and like timing those right was tricky with the extra lag and stuff.
Yeah,
so, but still, you know, it's a neat thing that they're adding this, and I think it's mm-hmm. really going to like, I don't know, it puts Apple in an interesting situation where it's like, you know, if you've got an iPad Pro and an MFI controller,
mm-hmm.
and you can just download the Steam Link thing and play legit PC games off your computer, you know, this seems like it's answering the quote unquote real gamer dream, right?
Well, why would you buy anything on the App Store?
Well, right. That's the other thing too. Like it's kind of interesting how, Apple had such problems with the OnLive client where it was like a complete non-starter that OnLive was streaming other games that you bought outside of iTunes and all this other stuff. But Steam Link is fine.
Well, they're Valve, so yes. Maybe that's all it took, is being Valve.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how this is. It's neat it's coming so soon, too, because we're not going to have to like wait till next year or something. It's like two weeks from now. And I'm interested because I have not a ton of games on Steam, but you know, I would always grab sales or grab bundles when there was something I wanted or whatever. So I have like a lot of games that I've definitely not played enough at all.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because I only have one computer. It's a laptop, and it's sort of annoying to play games on. So I just don't bother. So I feel like...
Well, I wonder if your computer would be fast enough to even work with this, you know?
Well, it's a MacBook Pro that released this year, so probably not.
Probably not.
last year. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there was definitely a few games I would play on Steam every once in a while, and I just don't like playing on my laptop, you know? And I don't have a good controller or anything like that, so I feel like this could be a solution to me at least spending some more time with my Steam games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm stoked to try it out, if nothing else. If you're looking for an MFI controller for this, I wouldn't buy anything other than the SteelSeries Nimbus.
Yeah.
Because the viewer thing's coming to the Apple TV, too. So, you know, Game Vice is cool and all, but you might as well get a controller that can work with, like, your iPad and Apple TV.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy one. So.
Well, they also say the Steam controller is supposed to support this somehow, but it's not real clear if that's just on Android or if it'll be on iOS only. And if it works on iOS, I want to know how the heck that's happening.
I think that the Steam controller actually just connects to your PC and might have a long enough range that, you know, it's talking to your PC but rendering the video on your computer.
That's going to be weird.
That seems like the smartest way to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, like, I don't know how they get the Steam controller, like, MFI certified and stuff like that. And it's total...
Right.
Different standard and stuff, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's how it works. So if you hear about Doctor Who Infinity, which I am not a person that cares about Doctor Who, but people do in a big way, the episode 2 of the game was revealed, and the title is The Orphans of the Polyoptera? I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm
probably
not
means something to Doctor Who people. I never got into
probably.
The show, so every time I feel bad because like every time we post about anything to do with this game, it's just like a tidal wave of interest.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, dude, if you had a gun to my head and was like, explain to me what's happening here, I'd be like, I'm dead.
It's not anything personal. I'd love to get into Doctor Who from all the things I've heard about it. It seems like it'd be something up my alley, but it's like, get in line, Doctor Who, behind the million other shows I don't watch.
Well, the problem is, like, now getting into Doctor Who, like, that's a show that's been going on for decades now. So it's like if tomorrow I was like, oh, dude, you got to get into Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Just catch up on 40 seasons.
Yeah, just catch up on 50 years of a TV show. So in unexpected update news, the Real Racing 2 got updated to iOS 11 and now supports the iPhone X.
Yeah, that's pretty nutty.
So if you would have asked me what the least likely game to get updated is, this would have been on the list somewhere. So
I guess it was broken on iOS 11. I don't know, because I hadn't really played Real Racing 2 in a long time. But when
there's
iOS
There's better racing games out now. That's kind of
There the are. Well, hold on. I didn't know that it has been broken since iOS 11, but reading through the App Store reviews and stuff, it seemed pretty clear that there was a problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was just what prompted them, and then while they're in there tinkering, you know, iPhone 10 support was something that's tossed in or whatever. But I was surprised to see this come out too. And so it prompted me to download it and start playing it again, and I've been playing it all week. It's so fun still. It's like kind of crazy to think about how good Real Racing was and how old it is.
Yeah.
And how good it still looks even. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's like, there's certain times where I'm just like, damn, this is still a really good looking game. And it's just fun. I don't know. It's like kind of baby's first racing game in a lot of ways, but I almost don't mind that because I can sort of just play while watching TV or doing something else. And the sense of progression is really fun, you know, to kind of unlock the new races and some, you know, basic upgrades and new cars and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I've just been surprised because I have so many games on my phone that I'm always dying to play. And then this comes out of nowhere, this 7-year-old game that I've already played.
Right.
And I'm like super into it again.
Huh.
And so I don't know. It's really fun. I would suggest anybody, even if you played the crap out of this game, download it again and give it another shot, especially if you have an iPhone 10 because it looks really good. But it's still so fun. It just kind of blows me away. And I always gave respect to EA for continuing to update this game even after they released Real Racing 3, because you would think that they would just sort of go whole hog into the new free-to-play game that's making them a hell of money. And instead, they've constantly kind of... I think they took multiplayer out, which is... I don't know. I don't care about that anyway. But other than that, they've kept this thing maintained pretty well for, you know, the five-plus years that Real Racing 3 has been out. And they didn't really, I don't think, have to. So I think that's kind of cool. And it was always a good alternative to tell people that were mad about free-to-play Real Racing 3, be like, well, Real Racing 2 is still really good, and it's totally premium, so... That's an option, and it still is an option all these years later. I think that's cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just think that Grid is probably a cooler game.
But objectively a better game, I mean, in just about every way. But I don't know. I kind of like the lightweightness of Real Racing 2 also. It's just play it again. It's fun.
Yeah. So if you're into Fortnite, which seems like the entire planet is right now, there's two things you should know about this week. The first, and they're both being heavily promoted inside the game, so this is probably old news for anyone that's playing Fortnite, but... if you have Twitch Prime and you aren't super into Fortnite, you should at least like link your Epic account to your Twitch account so you get the free loot. You basically get like a exclusive dance animation, a backpack, a pickaxe thing, and an outfit for your guy for free. So might as well take advantage of that. Secondly, the happening right now is there's a Avengers crossover event in Fortnite. So it's a special game mode where the Infinity Gauntlet that belongs to Thanos spawns. And when you equip it, you become Thanos with all of his abilities from the movie.
You become OP as heck.
Which is, dude, it's like unbelievable. It's like maybe like one of the coolest game things I've played in a long time. Because like, so Fortnite it's a battle royale game where it's like everyone's against everyone else, right? And you can kill anyone you feel like. Like, you know, if you're standing next to someone, you just shoot them and kill them if you want. Yeah. But it's like kind of weird how there's this like standing gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh shit, well, Thanos is around, like let's mess this dude up and then we'll worry about each other later. Like what happens is like you kind of like form these impromptu teams.
Yeah.
Kill Thanos, and then there's this huge battle around who picks up the glove next, which is kind of interesting.
You know, that thing happens frequently in battle royales and wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
Heels form alliances.
Exactly. So it's super cool. Definitely at least give it a try. I don't know. I absolutely love this. So, Butterscotch Shenanigans officially now have announced Levelhead. Apparently our GDC thing was just a teaser and they didn't tell anyone else. So the game is now officially announced.
Were we not supposed to post that?
I have no
two
idea.
2 months ago.
So no other real details on it other than it is officially announced. If you want to check the website, you can like sign up for their mailing list and other stuff. They have their own little trailer up. And
their Twitter, they post a lot of clips of that game on too. So
yeah,
check that out.
Check all that stuff out. Probably so. Last story on my list, and the most surprising thing that happened this week is that Niantic announced that the Pokemon Go Summer Festival, or I guess just Pokemon Go Fest, is happening again in Chicago this year, 2018.
You got a big pair of balls, Niantic.
Yeah, this is it'd be interesting to see. Surely they've learned their lesson after refunding everyone's ticket, getting involved in several class action lawsuits and everything else, that this event can't be as big of a clusterfuck as it was last time,
that's
right?
That's the fun part, is that it can. It totally can. And I hope it goes better this time, but if it's not, I'll watch that dumpster fire and with glee like I did last time.
Yeah. So it's in Lincoln Park, but I'm not sure if it's in Lincoln Park Zoo or just like Lincoln Park is just an area in Chicago. So
I hope it's not at a zoo, because I feel like that'd be very distressing for the animals in a zoo to have floods of people running around.
I don't know.
But it's admirable that they're going to try and do this thing again. And I mean, I think they're going to have to. They'll make some changes. I mean, they got to be well aware of what went wrong last time and that they were ill-equipped to handle such a thing.
Yeah, like maybe someone at the company will call up the cellular carriers and be like, hey, can you roll out a cell site on wheels?
We'll see. Or it's going to be fun to watch.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. If nothing else, the venue that they're having in is going to be way bigger, so people will be able to get way more spread out instead of... there's a Grant Park last time. I don't know. One of the big major downtown Chicago parks, which is... a very iconic location, but also very small. So, like, you know, not enough room for people to get spread out in different cellular towers and stuff like that. So We'll see. And also, I think the game has lost enough of its steam that, although I guess it'll still probably sell out and people will fly in and all this other stuff. So.
It says sold out right on the website.
Oh, is it sold out already?
Yeah, scroll down. No, you missed it. Go up.
I don't know how to use a shooter.
Sold out. Crazy. I wonder how many tickets there were.
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. So I guess too late for you to buy tickets.
I want to know if you're a person that's like flying from across the world to come to this again, if you did that last year, or if you're just hoping for the best, buying all tickets and hotels and spending all the money to do this, just hoping it doesn't flop again.
I will be there to see the shit show.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Boots on the ground.
Last year was something else. With that out of the way, I guess we can get talking about some games. I've had this Granny game on my iPad for way too long. Oh, it's not even gonna load. Hang on, it's because I'm screen mirroring.
You've had this Granny game for a while. It was at the top of the charts for like a minute, but I don't think it is anymore.
It's so shitty.
Why do things like this do so well?
I don't know. I can tell you why, because it's charmingly shitty.
Charmingly shitty.
So it's just called Granny. It basically it's like someone did like a super shitty Unity game that is kind of similar to there's this segment in Resident Evil 7? What's the one that just came out on the PlayStation? I don't remember. 8 maybe?
I don't know.
But there's a segment in there where you're being like chased around a house and you need to be quiet and stuff, and they basically turn that into this game. So it's kind of like it's like if you combined an escape room sort of thing with a stealth game, I guess.
Okay.
And like, so you need to like hide from Granny.
Okay.
And make your way out of the house without Granny coming to kill you. And you can like hide in all these different ways and all sorts of stuff. I don't know. It's like, it was one of those games that was like at the top of the charts. And I was like, what in the hell is this piece of crap?
If it makes you feel better, it's still number 6 in free games right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just see it. It's probably that high up because it seems a lot like the potential like Five Nights at Freddy's thing, and that like it's just really good for like dumbass jump scare YouTube video things.
Yeah, probably somebody.
Because you'll just be like wandering around looking for like stuff to help you get out, and then like see, here's Granny.
Oh, there's Granny.
So you need to like go. Oh shit. I could have done when like the Granny spawned and came and found me was like hide under a bed or just like be quieter or whatever else.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's free. It's free and it's dumb, and I promise you'll get 5 minutes of entertainment out of it. So what else can you ask for?
Granny. Get Granny. Just search for the top charts. It's there. Yeah,
look at Granny on the top charts. So the other game that I've been playing a bunch of, and I don't have progress on my iPad, but Tiny Bubbles, a game we saw at PAX last year or the year before.
And somewhere else too. It's been in the works for a while, so I know we've seen it here and there over the years.
It won a prize. It might have even been the grand prize at that party we were at for the label.
Won the label prize this year.
The other thing that we saw. So what's interesting about this game, and we've kind of talked about this quite a bit in other games, is that if they would have released this in 2011 or whatever, we'd be like, dude, I am so over like these matchy physics puzzler things. Like I don't even want to think about this right now. Just get it out of here.
Yeah.
But now that like you release something like this in 2018. And suddenly it's like, oh, hey, damn. Like, I remember these, like, physics matching games were really cool. And this is super neat.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. This game has a lot going for it. And I always hesitate to say matching games. I feel like that would give people the wrong impression. But it is based around matching. But it's done in a really unique way. And the amount of different, like, elements, like, gameplay elements that they throw at you through the whatever 200 puzzles or whatever. This game has so many puzzles, I don't even know what to do. But there's so many different types and different elements coming in like throughout the whole game that it never really feels like the same game for too long. And yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like a match three game.
Well, the matching mechanic is what powers it, though. So you match.
Yeah.
Like, so there'll be a bunch of bubbles, and there'll be empty bubbles. And if you tap, and, you know, this, there's so many different game things they throw at you. So this is, you know, just true for only the few basic levels before you start getting involved in more intricate mechanics. But if you tap a bubble that's empty with the color that's selected at the top of the screen, you will clear out any bubbles touching that bubble that match in, was it three or four?
Four or more touching or more. Same color, yeah.
But that's just how it works on this most basic level. Like, as the game progresses, there's, like, all these other obstacles and all sorts of other crap. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, this game could be, like, probably 10 different games.
Yeah. No, it definitely could. It's crazy.
Built into one, so.
But I think it's, when I first saw this game, I was just really attracted to the trailer because, like, the bubble physics are so cool. It's just so, like, fluid and sort of mesmerizing to watch. But then when you start playing, you realize that that factors into how the game plays a lot too, because the bubble physics acts how they should. So if you think of, like, you know, a group of bubbles, say, in like a bathtub or something like that, and you pop one, and then the rest of them sort of like move into each other and kind of converge into a smaller group of bubbles, like that, the whole game is built around that. And the physics are super realistic. So there's a lot of cases where you'll need to match some things, and then once those things are gone, the bubble cluster will come together to create other matches, and then before you know it, you start to get these like huge sort of like crazy combos going, sort of like in a matching game when you get like a crazy cascade from like one set of matches that just keeps it going and going and going. There's a lot of stuff like that in this game too, which I think is really cool, that it actually uses those cool looking physics. They're not just there for, you know, decoration. They actually factor into how the game plays and stuff. But yeah, just a super clever game. I don't know, super varied. And just really, not a lot of games come out that have this level of quality or polish or whatever.
Yeah, so
I don't know. I haven't really seen anyone say anything bad about it yet.
I really want to see this game do well, because like I feel like they could have so easily made this like just some super shitty free to play game with like all sorts of crazy mechanics and stuff like that, but they didn't. And I would love to see them rewarded for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, and this is largely just one dude. I mean, it's not just one guy, but I mean, this was the concept and sort of this is the baby of one person. So it would be cool to see it do well.
Yeah, just knowing how the App Store works, it makes me nervous to expect too much, I guess.
Yeah, it's paid. It's on sale right now for $3, but it's normally $5. And that is even cheap for the amount of content and just enjoyment you get out of this sort of game. So definitely pick it up if you like puzzlers and you like premium.
Yeah, those two things. If you don't like puzzlers and you don't like paying money, I would say Tiny Bubbles is not the game for you. The other game that I've been playing a ton of this week for whatever dumb reason is Ketchup's new Space Frontier 2. Do you fiddle with this at all?
No, but I played the first one a lot.
I don't remember the first one. Maybe it's very similar.
Probably.
You gotta manage all these ads in this game. So the basic idea of Space Frontier 2 is you are piloting a spaceship. You throw your little rocket dude in there, and then you tap, and it takes off. And then there's this kind of like wheel that goes by, and it's kind of like a timing game that you need to tap the screen to... I guess separate a like rocket stage from your rocket, and that determines like how far you blast off.
Yeah. It's same concept as the first, but done a little bit differently.
Yeah. So, you know, as you kind of play, you upgrade your ship and you get more stages to your rocket and you know, all sorts of stuff, which kind of increases how far you can go, which is, I thought was kind of interesting because it sort of combines like the kind of like mindless dumb catch-up game into what almost kind of feels like a bit of a progress clickery kind of game.
Yeah.
like, so right now I just added a stage to my rocket, and I was able to like just completely blast past where I was before.
So maybe that was missing. I remember playing the first game pretty obsessively for like a few days, and then getting to a point where I was like, I don't think I'm going to do any better, and then got turned off from playing anymore. So maybe that's what this sequel brings to the table, is, you know, more of a sense of progression to keep you keep playing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big part of it, because as you keep going, it seems like it just keeps unlocking like extra crap. Like, it's I'm really blown away by how much stuff there is to do in this compared to, cause it seems like most catch-out games, like, their shtick is it's like a very sort of one-dimensional kind of thing,
like an
right?
arcade. Yeah,
like, high like school, a super simple high-scoring arcade game. And this, it's almost like the, like, playing the little, like, actual arcade game is secondary to this whole, like, second system of tricking out your rocket and, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
So.
Can you remove the ads?
Probably.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no ads.
Sweet.
So, yeah, for $3 you can remove ads. You know, the ads are the same as every catch-up game. You know, there's a constant banner on the bottom, or you can, or, you know, you get interstitials every now and again, like every time you die or something like that. So, very cool game. Kind of, like, it's, I'm always a sucker for these games because I'm always like, oh, I want to see what happens next after my next upgrade, or like after I, like, you know, get my next level up, or.
Yeah. Blast into a new environment or something. Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, Space Frontier 2, give that a look.
And I said, I didn't even realize that came out. Ketchup doesn't contact us anymore.
Yeah, you gotta follow them on Twitter if you want to know about their shit. So if these other games I have on my iPad, what do you want to talk about?
Well, let's see. We talked about Tiny Bubbles. What else did we have on there?
These last two were.
Oh, let's talk about this. Odium to the Core game. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
So
what's this all about?
This is a cave flyer, and it's kind of like a Badlands sort of art style. What are you doing?
I'm trying to move these icons in order, but apparently
folders are so broken on iOS now.
Apparently, like, iOS 11 just doesn't want you to move icons anymore.
Yeah, I have that problem all the time. I hate it. But anyway, so this is it's Cave Flyer. That's sort of, it's not a rhythm game, but it's really built around the music, so everything sort of syncs up. So as you're flying, like, each time you collect an orb or whatever, it'll be like to the beat of the song. And it's a super hardcore difficulty game, so it's kind of like one of those. But it's also got a different feel to it than most cave flyers. I would say most cave flyers, it's like pretty pronounced. Like, when you touch the screen, you rise right up, and then when you drop pretty quickly. And this game, it's a lot more subtle, the movements. Like, when I first started playing, right here during this tutorial, where it's like, hold down. I'm doing what you're doing, where I kept crashing because I felt like nothing was happening.
Yeah. So if you're not watching video, like, basically I'm playing a dude that is, it's like a almost Limbo style black and white world, and you kind of tap the screen to feather your guy's, like, I don't know, altitude.
The raise and lower or whatever, but it's a really subtle movement, so you have to kind of adjust to that. And what I think is interesting about this game is that there's scoring happening as you're going. Like, the further you get, the more score you get, and then you get score for picking up orbs and stuff. But you actually earn more points the less you tap the screen. So, like you're saying, you can feather and kind of maintain like a level sort of elevation, and that's nice. But then if you actually judge your, you know, swoops up and down to be a little bit longer, you can actually earn more points by using the touchscreen less. And I thought that was kind of clever, because it sort of forces you to not just kind of, you know, hammer your way through the game or whatever. But even if you do, it's all a moot point anyway, because this game gets so hard that you're just doing anything you can to get through the levels. Not, you know, when I first started out, I was like, I'm going to collect every orb. And it's like, nope, if I just live till the end, I'm happy. But it's really cool. It's got a neat style. Like, the art style is really kind of like I said, sort of Badlands-y, with the silhouetted sort of foreground and the crazy stuff happening in the backgrounds, and lots of neon colors. And then, like I said, the music sort of syncs up to everything. And there's definitely more like electronic, sort of dancey, whatever you want to call it. But definitely
one thing I would say is that these levels feel very long for a mobile game.
They are, and there's checkpoints, and you need those checkpoints. But it's also cool. It's not an endless game. You actually beat levels, and there's even boss fights and stuff like that too. So if you like, you know, if you're super into Jetpack Joyride, but you sort of hate that it's endless, this game is not. This is a game you can beat. But I don't know. I've been having fun with it. I was sort of turned off at first because it wasn't what I was expecting, and then just a few minutes later, it started to really grow on me, and then I was like, okay, I got to beat this level, and then I was kind of hooked. So I like it.
Yeah, that seems neat. Definitely gonna have some more time with this. I like the idea that you get points based on not using the touchscreen.
Yeah, the scoring's really neat. It's one of those things where if you are super into like leaderboard competition, there's a lot of variance. So instead of like each level having this sort of like maximum you could get or whatever, there's going to be like a wide variety of scores, I would say. So that makes leaderboard stuff kind of cool. But anyway, yeah. Odium to the Core was that one. It's pretty neat. Totally paid game. I think it's $3. So check it out.
So the last game you had you want to talk about was Almost There. What's this?
Yeah.
What's this? I posted
a trailer maybe a month or two ago. It's a one finger hardcore platformer. So the idea is it's kind of like that game we saw from Digital Melody at PAX. You have sort of like a control bar that you put your thumb on, and then you use that to both move, and then you can kind of lift it to jump, and then you can actually do like wall jumps and stuff too. So you have like a pretty wide variety of stuff you can do with just this one little sort of control stick thing. And it works surprisingly well. It takes a lot of getting used to. And you'll find that you go to make a jump that just doesn't, you just feels weird or whatever. But eventually you kind of get used to it. Hmm. And I would say it actually works surprisingly well for what they were trying to do. Because you think of a game like Super Meat Boy, and this is sort of that kind of twitchy hardcore platformer, but you control it with just one thumb, which seems...
Yeah, this is real weird.
Sort of bananas.
I always wonder with games like these, like, don't get me wrong, like, I appreciate, like, experimental controls on the platform, but, like, is this game any better for not having, like, a jump button?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, if you don't have this kind of game, like, you don't have a platform that has a game like this, or you don't have another video game system or something like that, then maybe you'd be getting super into it. I mean, people seem to love like Geometry Dash and stuff like that, but that's more of like an auto running game. This is more of a full control thing done with, you know, one touch. So it's different. It's the movements are really subtle. You definitely have to warm up to it, and I would say you're playing it on an iPad.
Yeah,
this is totally an iPhone game, like, that you play with one hand. It makes it a lot easier to play with your thumb, but it's a pretty cool idea. It's executed pretty well. Not a whole lot of people trying to do this sort of thing. So,
yeah. Well, so that's cool. So just recap real quick of the games we went through today. Granny, Tiny Bubbles, Space Frontier 2, Odium to the Core, and Almost There. I would say give Granny 10 seconds of your time.
and then just play Tiny Bubbles.
And then delete it and buy Tiny Bubbles instead. So with that, that's going to be this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show. I really appreciate everyone that downloaded and made it to the end this week. Without you guys, I don't know what we'd do. Probably go get a job at Denny's or something.
Get a better paying job.
At Denny's. So anyway, if you like the show, you like what we do, we really appreciate it if you check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. If you're not into the Patreon thing but do shopping on Amazon, fight the man by going to toucharcade.com/Amazon. If you want to watch us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/TouchArcade. We also have a Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade. And if you like the show, please leave us an iTunes review or tell a friend. And if you want to email us for any reason, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. And with that, we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.